If you're an adventurer, there's one place that you absolutely have to shop.
There is, because there's this place called Modatomic, and they have the gas can hoodie, which when you put it on, it feels like a hug. And if you're a true adventure rider, you know that some days don't go as planned and you need a hug. But not only the gas can hoodie, Modatomic has other things too. Like what, Cappy?
Like beanies, cups, stickers, t-shirts, and probably my favorite dry bag.
That orange dry bag is badass.
It is. Modatomic.com. Link in the description.
So, Chappie, I got a confession to make.
Confess to me.
I've been talking to our buddy from B-Moto, Paco Pete. You know B-Moto, that shop that does really cool stuff like
off-road performance engines and suspensions. They even can Cerakote with ceramic finishes, so the outside is just as strong as the inside.
Which is awesome, and brings me to my confession, Cody Proof Certification. Because Paco Pete told me they're going to take care of my engine and Cody Proof it.
That's something that not too many places can say.
No, definitely not. I would just suggest go over to bmoto.com and check it out. They've got some pictures of what they do.
Boutiche.com. Link in the description of the podcast.
Yes, because it's hard to spell, but they do good work.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Throttled Adventures. Cody's got the big M, the green M.
Yes.
You're cheating on your Red Bull with a freaking Monster shirt.
I know, but that's because my kids bought me this at the Supercross a couple of years back, and my gas can hoodie is currently being washed. Yeah, I saw that. I love
it. It's currently on.
Guess what? Here. This is a first. This is a first on this podcast.
First?
Yeah, I know what we're going to talk about, and Chappie doesn't. Look at that.
All right.
I'm throwing you a curveball. It's an easy one. Don't worry. Don't get stressed out.
Stressed out? I'm not stressed.
I mean, Chappie can veto this, but I had thought that we do a top five off-road and top five on-road mistakes that we have either seen people make or made ourselves.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I was going through some old videos of mine and saw like top five when I got back from the Idaho BDR, and that was my first trip, you know? And I thought, we can't be the only people that have things that are mistakes, either, you know, forgetting something or misjudging. So, and I know you've got some road miles behind you that I don't. So I just figured we could maybe help some people learn from our mistakes or our buddy's mistakes. Doesn't have to be yours.
Yeah.
If you're good with that.
Number one, road mistake, not wearing gear.
Ooh. Elaborate. No, elaborate.
I'm just kidding. Well, I have a friend that his friend was riding their bike down in Connecticut, which is a no helmet state. She was only doing 20 and she fell over and hit her head, and the head damage was what killed her. She was wearing a helmet, she'd be alive today. So,
man,
it's a choice we make.
It is. I mean, I live
in. She made a choice that ended her life quicker. So, I mean, that would be my number one.
I mean, that one is, that's a good one, because if you make that mistake, it could end your riding days / days forever.
And I think it goes even double for off-road, because if you're not wearing knee protection and boots, you're more likely to break a ankle or shin or severely hurt your knee when you fall on a rock or something like that. Not to mention it fucking hurts.
Yeah, it does. And off-road, usually, like, even if you just scrape your arm or something, you're in the dirt, right? So, I mean, chance of getting infected or, you know, by the time you get back, unless you got your first aid and all that. But yeah, it's a choice. And I think both have dangers on road. You know, there's things like cars and hard tarmac or cement, whatever it is. Off road, the terrain isn't necessarily even.
Well, if you're not planning on falling off road, you're not really riding.
Right. Might as well stay home if you're not going to drop your bike at least once off road. It's really embarrassing when you do it in a gas station parking lot.
Yeah, and we're not talking, I'm not talking about like dirt road, maybe easy BDR stuff. I'm talking about like technical, you're going over roots and
fun
ruts
stuff.
And kind of stuff. Yeah, well, ruts and kind of stuff, because we're not professionals.
Even some of those two-lane highways that are kind of maintained and stuff. I mean, depending on the weather, I've seen some pretty big rain ruts that'll cross the whole
thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So like if you're thinking, oh, I'm on a maintained road, this is good, and you're flying, and all of a sudden you see that.
Well, I told you about the washouts on the BDR here and EBDR. And I hate it. Like, you post something up in one of the Facebook groups and you post a picture and you always get them elitist, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that ain't bad. I went over that in my 1235 in like 50 miles an hour and I didn't even like pucker up at all. It's like, yeah, well, you know, like everybody's not at your level.
Right.
Am I loud?
You're loud?
According to the wave thing.
Did you drink your steroid voice music juice or what? But
looking at what it did to the
waveforms.
You're not even moving your waveform and mine's like all over
what the hell. I don't know why that is. That is very weird.
But yeah, so like again, this can probably apply to both as well. Trying to ride above your skill level, that whole thing, ride your own ride, does not just mean, ride at your own pace. Like, don't ride where you don't belong.
Yeah. And have the wherewithal to know your limits. And sometimes you got to be okay. Know, saying, hey, that's above my limit to your buddies or whatever.
Yeah. Being able to, we got to practice. I mean, if you're with a bunch of people and you're going to, try something, as long as it's not something that's like severely dangerous, like, hey, try and jump that canyon. or like what you do with Johnny Mac, you're trying to go up a rocky, hill climb. It's a little different.
It's a little different.
Those two things.
He's teaching me the technique and there to watch me, and we know the risks involved.
Right. So if you're riding with people like that and they're doing it at a pace that's safe for you.
Yes.
By all means, you're learning. So we're not saying don't ride anything that's difficult. We're saying
you want to grow.
Don't do that shit on your own at a pace that's not suited for that terrain.
Yes, yes.
And that's the whole ride your own ride. Don't ride above your head.
And that may be I'll use that as my number one off-road mistake probably. I rode a lot during the week because there was less people out there. But sometimes couldn't get buddies and I would go myself. Now, I wouldn't do the stuff I was doing with Johnny, but I would definitely push myself, maybe a little more than I should have. So my mistake was pushing myself too far alone. With the people that ride like Johnny Mac, I have found they're very helpful and mindful. Like, their goal is not to handicap you. Even if you're the slowest rider or whatever, in fact, they enjoy seeing you progress. So, they're there and patient and helpful and, they'll stand there and catch you, or as you've seen, Johnny will catch catch your bike for you.
Poor catch guy. The bike and watch you fall on your face.
Oh, poor guy.
I've seen that.
I felt so bad.
The type of stuff that Johnny was doing, and if you're doing that type of stuff, it's all slow maneuvers anyway.
Yes.
It's not like it's not like you're ripping down the trail. And I found I've found that even though you're comfortable with the trail and you know where the turns are gonna go, does not mean that there's not something around that turn. I found that out when I was like 16 or 15. Come ripping around the trail, fifth or sixth gear pin, done it a million times. Well, a little sapling had gone across the trail, and it was at an angle at such. Anybody knows that if you got a bike leaned over and you hit a branch or something that's big enough to take your freaking... Cody laughs because he knows where this is going. So anyway, the bike went out from underneath me quickly.
Yes.
Especially just at that speed.
Just like Tim when he was hit by a branch on the side. I think we were on the Colorado. I'm sure you've seen that. And it just hit his luggage just right, and it just pushed him and the bike right over.
Oh, yeah, but this was like I was all leaned over, right turn, foot under the freaking front brake. Ringing through the corner, and all of a sudden, there was no bike under me anywhere.
Yes,
because it hit that tree, and the front wheel just washed right out because there's no traction.
Yeah, I mean, heck, if you watch Supercross, I mean, these guys are probably the most skilled at acceleration and braking and waiting and leaning the bike over, and even them will go around just a corner that they've done four times already, four laps before. And their front end will wash out, or they'll get cross-rutted and tip them over. I mean, it happens even to professionals. But like to your point, you might know this trail or whatever very well. I've been on trails that I've done maybe 100 times, and one time it was almost like there was a Sasquatch. Well, I'm not blaming Vince, but it was like some jerk was placing these big rocks right, right where your front tire is going to go naturally. I mean, it was so bad. It was like they were almost intentional. They weren't. I'm not that conspiratorial, but I'm saying that 2 days before those rocks weren't there. So had I been like you, like pinned and, I know this thing, I got it down. You just got to be aware, right? And that teaches you a lesson. I bet you looked ahead farther or slowed down a little bit the next time you went on that. No, you were 16. It didn't faze you.
Not at that age, no.
You just laughed about it and moved on.
Well, I mean, I couldn't ride for the rest of the weekend, but
I don't know about you. My first reaction is to look around. Did anybody see that? Okay, I'm good. No one saw it. I know that's silly, but
I was always wiping out.
It's always my first reaction. It doesn't really count if nobody saw it.
Yeah, I had a KX125 at the time. I was either trying to ride a wheelie, I was jumping, or I was going as fast as the bike could take me. That was the way I rode.
You weren't Johnny Mac, you were like Uncle Ronnie.
Yeah, it was either one or both of my wheels were off the ground or they were moving at top speed. So it was like six gear pinned or as fast as it was capable.
Excellent. Yeah, so that's a good one.
But looking back, I can see that sort of thing and say,
Yeah.
I also hit a gopher hole one time. Big enough one that it like launched the bike in the air.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, this was a smaller bike, but my friend was there and he said it was the funniest thing he ever saw because we're going along and all of a sudden it was like I hit a landmine. I went one way, the bike went one way, the gas tank popped off, went this way, and the seat went that way.
It was just like a yard sale everywhere.
Yeah, because the gas tank, it slid onto the frame and it went over the rubber thingies, and then there was a rubber latch that held it down on the back part, and then the seat clipped on and held the tank in, but the seat was just like the spring-loaded clips in the very back that held it on. Dual shocks, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, brr, bang! So it's like, I hit a landmine and everything went flying.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I wish we had, like, GoPros when I was a kid, and then sometimes I'm glad we did not.
Yeah, I would love to see that now.
Yeah.
Don't know if I would have liked to have seen it back then. I was pretty shaken up from that whack.
Yeah, my
thankfully favorite he one, was there. So
my favorite one is Squatch. We just started riding, and Squatch was young and he's riding like you, like he was always balls out.
Hmm.
So he had his GoPro on his helmet.
Hey, whoa. Rated G.
I'm rated X.
Put the balls back in.
My huevos are out. If you don't like it, you can kiss them.
I thought you were a boy. What do you got huevos for? Huevos,
I don't know.
Girls.
Rancheros? No, what? Huevos rancheros? Like
eggs.
Yeah, with ranch? I don't know. I don't know Spanglish, but yeah. But his GoPro's on his helmet, and yep. We wave. I wave at the, I'm in front of him actually at this point. I wave at a guy going the other way. So Squatch decides he's going to wave. And right as he waved, he got cross-rutted in a deep rut. And in the camera, you can just see his feet coming in front of his face.
I think boom, I showed you. I think you sent me that.
Oh, my God.
Did you put that on your channel?
I think I did put it on the channel. But, oh, my God, it was funny. And every once in a while, I'll send it to him. Remember this? Because he was actually, when I got back to him, he was, like, dazed and confused.
I bet.
So that makes it funnier when I say, remember this? Because I know he doesn't remember it, but we have the video and it's just feet in front of the camera rolling. Luckily, I mean, he just rung his bell a little. That actually is the next week. I took him down to the motorcycle store and we got the 6D helmets. They were they're like $700, but they have these, different things for different speed collisions, because helmets, a lot of them were made for high speed, high impact. Mm-hmm. But these 6D helmets specialize in like slower crashes, basically to help the brain from shaking around.
So they got like MIPS in it.
Yeah. Like MIPS. It was like the first type of MIPS thing. So, but after seeing that and knowing that he was going to marry my daughter, I was like, we need to protect your head. So we did. We went, and here's the funny part. The next time we rode with those brand new helmets, we went to Idaho to a climb event, like climb gear.
Yeah.
And I don't remember this, but Vince keeps bringing it up. I was going through a river thing, and then it went up a hill, right?
Vince keeps bringing it up.
Well, there was some guys coming down the wrong way. I say the wrong way. They were marked one-way trails, right? But anyway, they just stopped like right where I had to go if I was going to make it. And so I just let off the throttle enough that it screwed me up and I tumbled over and I hit my head right against a rock. And I had that brand new helmet on. I think I'd have been really messed up. But yeah, the day after we got the good gear.
You mean more?
Yeah, more messed up. Like I finished the event, so I was okay-ish, but yeah. So there's something to be said about, you know, and we've been through this, but there's certain parts of your body you want to protect. Ultimately, you'd like to protect them all, but there's some that are a little more important, you know. I know I don't want to be like, and this might offend somebody, I might lose a listener, and I hope not, but I don't want to be like talking like Fetterman. Sorry. I don't want to need a screen to have to give me the readout of what people are telling me.
What the hell's a Fetterman? You mean Sleepy Joe?
No. Fetterman, I think, Pennsylvania dude that's MIA, checked into rehab for depression or something. I don't know. He had a stroke, so I'm not making fun of him, but he had a stroke before the election, and then he got elected, and then something else happened, and he's been missing. They say he's fine in a hospital or something. I don't know. It's really sad, so I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying.
Are you trying to say that you're going to end up MIA?
That is possible. There's a good country song that says, if I go missing, don't come looking. And I like that.
Okay, if you go missing and we're not supposed to look, who the hell is going to take your place?
I've aligned for Hollywood to stand in or Squatch.
Squatch would be funny. Yeah. I was thinking Oliver.
Oh, boy. Ollie. Yeah, we could invite him on. But he did say.
Anyway.
This is a quote from one of our listeners, but he said that we need to make shirts about the thing that apparently we said last time. I don't remember saying it.
We haven't put that on the thing yet.
Oh, well, he heard it somewhere. Twist your nipples, twist your throttle, something. He said we need to make shirts. I don't even remember saying that.
So we got an email today, our first negative comment.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He says it's negative. I think it means we're doing our job correctly.
Well, I mean, it's negative in the fact that...
Yes, that it hurt somebody's feel bads.
Well, no, it's just...
It wasn't a glowing review. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he just... And everybody's got their own opinion as to what's acceptable and what's not. And
I respect that.
You know, it made me think back and try to remember what
possibly we could have done. Yeah.
It says, I am removing from my playlist just too much perversion. Tuned in for motorcycle info. That's it.
That's it.
So
summed up.
Yeah.
Well, Chappie, I really wish you'd quit talking perverted because it's making us lose listeners. Possible sponsors. I mean, you got to watch your mouth.
Yeah. Well,
on the serious side, there's one
person that thinks that there are others. They just, I would like to thank this gentleman for bringing it letting to our attention at least.
Yes, I appreciate that. That doesn't mean I'm going to change, but I do appreciate your opinion and sharing it because, you know.
Yes,
it did make us pause and think, like,
absolutely.
If we did something that was overt or very offensive or intentionally offensive, I don't think either one of us would have a hesitate apologizing. However, we both thought it over today, and other than that stupid 80 for Brady thing that made all these ladies carry around.
Geez.
What is a fanny pack, and they call a different word, and I won't say it in case somebody's
going
to... Oh, God, there we go. See? I'm not always the perverted one. Yeah, I mean, that's the most offensive thing I can think of. That's what they call it, and it's from a movie.
They strap on their fanny pack.
Yeah. It embarrasses me, but I didn't stop the show because it embarrasses me. I just shared the story, so
yes.
Whatever.
No, I know.
No, but I respect it. I don't think
we've been overly perverted.
No.
If anybody can show Just Cause where we've gone off the rails for perversion, I would really like to know because.
Oh boy.
That's not our focus.
No.
And if we
now,
have.
Sometimes we go off the rails.
Line, and if we have crossed the line, I mean, we want to have fun, but we also want to make this enjoyable for everybody to come in, you know, hear about motorcycles.
Yes, most everybody. Hey, come on. The club has to have a fire safety limit. Like, you can't just let everybody in. Most people.
Uh-huh.
I'd say 99.9%.
All right. Before you derailed us.
Yeah.
Motorcycle stories.
I was going to ask you. Did it take you like your first trip or longer and see if you agree or disagree, but one thing I learned about on road that would be maybe a mistake. I didn't realize for me that it takes me about twice as long to get to a destination, especially if it's many miles.
Oh, like
than it would in a car. So I just, like, I could tell a buddy, oh, I'll be there. I'd look on Google Maps, look at it, and it would tell me X amount of hours. I'll be there in that many hours. And then it took me 1.5 times or 2 times, average. Yes,
depending on the distance. Like if I'm going to my brother's, I usually get there quicker on the motorcycle. I'm not sure why that is, but.
Do explain.
Well, he's only like 25 minutes away in the car.
It's what are you, like lane splitting? What are you doing? What are you taking the back roads? What are you doing here?
I don't know. I'm not sure why. Anyway. Yes, if you're doing like an all-day trip or something like that, you're going to spend, say, 4 or 5 hours in the saddle unless you've got an iron butt. Yes, you probably are going to take breaks, and it's going to take longer.
I just didn't realize and figure that in, you know.
The longer the trip, the longer it's going to take.
Right. You know, because, oh, boy. We just lost 5 more listeners.
I didn't say nothing.
I know. I can read lips, though. Read my lips.
I don't have to. I can hear you.
Oh, that's good. Because when we started, you're like, I can't hear you.
Well, no, you were quiet. I turned you up, too.
Aha.
Didn't turn you on. I turned you up.
So that was a mistake.
Turning you on?
Yeah, that's always a mistake. Once you start the engine, the bike has to go, baby. You hear the 2-stroke engine start in the garage. Even Squatch runs out. Are we riding?
Are we racing?
He gets all excited. I know better to race him. Last time I did it, it blew up my bike. But... yeah, it takes me twice as long. Off-road, I still make this mistake to this day, which is terrible to admit, but hey, I'm here for your guys' learning pleasure, whatever, laughter. But I never seem to take enough hydration.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's different here because I can stop, but I'm guilty of not hydrating enough. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Usually when we go on a trip or something like that, I can tell I'm a little dehydrated. You can just take a look at the color of your urine and you can tell.
Yep.
Yep. The lighter it is, the more healthy it is, the darker it is, the
more dehydrated you are.
Yes. Or you've got the fever.
Yes. I learned the hard way that it's not supposed to be absolutely clear either.
No, That's it.
Yes, because before the races, I don't drink water. You know this. I drink Red Bull and Coke all day. I don't drink water. Mm-hmm. I drink water when I race. But when we started racing, we would get these, they're like liquid IV, they call them, or fizz things. They're electrolytes. You just drop them in your water bottle. It kind of flavors them, but it gives you, it's kind of like a Gatorade type thing. But so like for 5 days before the race, I was drinking like, 6 bottles of these high electrolyte type things. And on race day, I'm like, I'm peeing like water clear, man. And I'm all proud. I'm like, this is the first time I've never been dehydrated. Telling Squatch, my piss is clear. He's like, you went overboard, dude. It's not supposed to be like see-through clear.
No, you're just pissing water out now.
Yeah. But hydration, I mean, it's, hydration affects a lot of things, and mentally, you know, you slow down if you're dehydrated, which is not good on a fast motorcycle. So,
no, fast thoughts for fast speed.
Yes, it's not the time to be thinking back on what bills are due and who you got to call.
No, and now that's always something that's been so liberating on a motorcycle. I mean, you can have the worst day, pissed off at your mom, pissed off at your, you know, when I was a teenager, it was pissed off at mom, pissed off at the wife, pissed off at work, pissed off at the world. Get on a motorcycle and you start going down the road and it's like everything just goes because you need the focus.
Yeah, it's like
when a kid ripping through the trails, six gear pinned, if you're not paying attention, you're going to kiss a tree. And, you know, trees have rough lips. I didn't like kissing them too much.
They don't use any moisturizer, so they will knock you out.
No, they kept tearing my lips up, so.
Yeah.
Plus, it's hard to tell if they're boys or girls. Kind of like today.
Oh, boy. We just lost another 40 listeners. You know, I just refer back to a movie that had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. And that's it.
Twins?
Kindergarten Cop, I think it was.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you can look it up. It's about the little kid telling about.
Oh, yeah. Andrew.
Boys have and girls have. It's a funny clip if you can handle it, but
I don't think they can I don't think they can watch it anymore.
Oh, I've got it saved.
Yeah, but
I'll send it to you later. I would
be surprised if you could find that online.
You can find it on YouTube, just that clip. I found it the other day. But that might not be there for long.
Right.
I know we're talking about motorcycles. Don't want to get too perverse here. So what's your third tip for on-road?
Maybe you've got a tumor. It's not a tumor.
Are you going to pump you up?
I got a headache. Those kids are animals.
You know, there's an Advil commercial now that has a teacher has a headache, and she takes Advil because the kids are crazy.
And did the kid ask her if she's got a tumor?
No.
She turns into Arnold and looks at him. It's not a tumor.
No, it's not that one.
It was at this point that Cody had to take a break, but Vince was happy to step in and fill in for Cody until he returned. We were just freaking talking about you. He was telling the story about when you went ass over tea kettle.
Which time?
Which time? Shortly after you guys got the bikes.
Oh, yeah. So
you're following him, and he's got the GoPro video. He says, I keep sending it to him.
Yeah.
We've all been riding,
and there were those pesky ruts that are always on the road once it gets shitty. And I was like super new, and I was going slow, but I was going really fast in my head. And there was somebody passing, and I was like, oh, I'll wave to this guy. And the second I waved, I let go of the handlebars, and then I went right in the rut, and I just tumbled.
Oh, yeah.
And the dude looked back, and I was like already up with my bike, like, hope he didn't see you. That was embarrassing. But Cody was in front of me, and I like yelled for him, and he was just gone. And so I was sitting there by the fence with like my backpack and just waiting for him to come back because I was like, that hurt. But in the video, I'm just, you know, feet overhead, just tumbling. And one second I'm waving, the next second my feet are just above my head and I'm doing a backflip. So, only thing it really hurt was my pride.
Oh, always does.
But the worst thing I think on both of our prides was the first time I ever went actually to ride, like not in the neighborhood. We went to Big Cottonwood Canyon up Mineral Fork Trail. And like I had all the gear on, like I was like, I look the part, I can ride. I got this, no problem. And so we get to this trailhead and there's this like 8-year-old kid there with his dad and they just buzz up, just no problem. And I'm like, all right, that kid got it. I'm good. I'll make it just fine. I think I made it 50 feet up this trail and I was done. I think Cody made it 100 and he was done. Like he beat me, but I was like, I could not put the bike in first gear. Like I was done, but I looked like I knew what I was doing.
Looked the part.
Yeah. I looked the part. Like anyone that rode by, I was just like, what's up, man? Let's take a break. Like they had no clue that I didn't even know how to start the bike. Really? Like they had nothing.
We all got to start somewhere.
Yeah. So what bikes do you have now?
I've got the 850 GS, similar to what Cody's got.
The Pittsburgh colors?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, and then I've got the 250L, Honda 250L, and I've got a KX 250. Oh, 88 nice. Two smoke.
An 88?
Yeah.
Whoa, throwing it back.
Yeah, we do, did before COVID, vintage racing. So I rode the bike in the 80s class.
So what years do they have like what is considered vintage?
90s, 80s, and 70s.
Whoa.
And I think that's the popular ones. And actually, I think pretty soon the 2000s will probably be adding a vintage class. It's hard to see those nowadays, too.
I had a 2000 Honda CR250, and that thing was, it was fun, but it was temperamental all the time.
Hmm.
Yeah, it like, we'd go up a certain elevation, it would just die. Like, you'd check, you know, mess with the carb, and I'd have to rejet it all the time, and it was just a pain in the ass. So yeah. When we made it to the top of American Fork Canyon, I carved it into the tree, because I was, and I carved what bike I had into it, too. So everyone knew that if I made it up here in a CR, you can make it up here in, like, a KTM. I was like, so don't use it as an excuse.
Yeah, nowadays I got the fuel injected stuff, and
that's what my new bike is, and it's insane. It's so fast.
Nice.
And your 250L, you said that's a Honda, right?
Yeah.
What's the L mean?
Dual sport. Yeah, it's a road illegal.
So how is it on the road though? Is it like?
Not bad.
Not bad. Okay, so how is it off road?
It's okay. I mean, if you're gonna try and do like. Your desert race or doing something like Johnny Mac does, mm-hmm. Probably not.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's got like 23 horse, but
it's got a kickstand though, right?
It does.
That's value right there.
It's got a kickstand. It's electric start. It was the old 250 CBR 250 motor.
Oh, nice.
So it was a street bike motor, so the maintenance on it's like 5,000-6,000 miles.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it starts every time to go explore in the woods and stuff like that. It's perfect.
I liked my four-stroke a ton. It was awesome. But then Cody told me, he's like, well, you're going to have to rebuild that one day the way you ride. And I'm like, oh, well, what do I do now then? He's like, throw it back, get a two-stroke. And it's been two strokes ever since now. He influenced me to get a two-stroke.
Yeah, they're fun. I mean, they're great. It's just, you can't, well, I mean, it's different out there. You might be able to put it on the road here, you know, if you had a dual sport. We don't have the riding you guys do. Like the...
I mean, I think any dirt bike should never go that fast on, like, road speed for a while, because that's how Cody blew his bike up. That's how I blew my bike up. I guess you shouldn't go 70 miles an hour for like 10 minutes on a two stroke. It just doesn't work out.
No. Well, no, they're geared to go slower. So
yeah, I found that out.
Well, yeah.
When Cody blew up his bike, we were on the way up to 5 mile pass and I was in front of him. And it was one of the times that like one of the first times I ever rode my bike, my new one I got. And so I was like, I can't let Cody, you know, like think I'm slow or something on this new bike. So I pinned it all the way out on the road. And then I was at 5 mile pass waiting for him and waiting and waiting. And I was doing some jumps and just taking some time up. And I was like, he's still not here. I'm like, how did he get lost? Did he take a wrong turn? I'm like, you just turn right off the road. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he did. But so I turn around and I finally go back and he's just like sitting there on the side of the road. And I'm like, did you run out of gas? Like, I was giving him shit when I pulled up and I'm like, what happened? And he was like, I don't even know what happened. And I'm like, oh, kick your bike over. Let's go. And he's like, I can't. It's stuck. And well, come to find out, it was welded. Yeah, it was really stuck.
It was stuck, all right.
Yeah. And he's like, I think I got it on video. And his GoPro turned off right before it happened. Because he's like, oh, this is a boring piece of road. Let's just turn the GoPro off. And then bam, just like that.
Of course. That's crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, did he tell you about how we went mudding the other day?
Yeah. Yeah. In the Can-Am?
Yeah. It was crazy.
You're liking that, huh?
It moves. It's fast. And it, like, Cody, when he sits in the back seat, he watches the front wheels, and he says, like, when we're going, the whole machine stays smooth, but the wheels are just constantly moving. Just because the suspension travel, but he said, it's crazy how much it moves and how much you actually feel.
It's like one of them race trucks where they do the jumps and stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. Except for if I do that, I'm scared I'm going to break it for now. But yeah, we were going through the mud and we're like, well, do we keep going or do we turn around or what do we do? And I was like, well, let's see if it gets better up here. And so we kept going and it did not. It got horrible. And finally, I was like, you know, we're just going to send it through all this mud. Let's just do it. And I pinned it. And then Cody was in the back seat screaming. like, slow down, you're going to kill us all or something. I can't remember. But he was freaking out. And then we came through this puddle and like water went over the whole hood and soaked us in the front and stuff. And I was like, here we go. It's going to flood or something. But it powered right through it just fine.
Awesome.
But the worst part was like the mud that flew up on the hood, it would fly off and hit us all in the face because I don't have a windshield on it. And that was like getting hit with a rock when you're going 60. It was like, it hurt. Oof. I feel like yeah. I needed like my helmet on or something because I was getting beamed in the forehead and the nose and stuff. It was terrible.
Yeah, that's not fun. You let him know that's going in the podcast, the part about him screaming like you're going to kill him.
He was freaking out. I was like, I got it. We're in low anyway. I can't go that fast.
That's definitely going in the podcast. He's sitting back there smiling. He has no idea.
No, that's part.
I was just eating too much mud.
Oh, yeah. When we got out, I was covered head to toe, and he was covered head to toe.
In my new Moscow jacket.
But I, because he sits on the passenger backside when he's in there too, and Abby sits on the passenger side, obviously. And so whenever I got to go through a puddle, I'll dip that side in a puddle, not my side, because I want to stay dry. So him and Abbers were soaked the whole ride. Like, they got the worst of it by far. Oh, when they got out, Cody was covered head to toe and everything, and so was Abbers. They were covered in mud, dirt, water, you name it.
I'm buying him a windshield. That's it.
Won't help.
Yeah, well, people have them. They like them, but it's weird. I don't know. I would hate to like get dust on it. It would bother me, like obstructed view. I feel like once you go through one mud puddle, you're kind of screwed.
Oh, we'll put yeah. Crisco on it.
I put Crisco on it, yeah.
the whole machine, actually.
Yeah, I tried that SC1 stuff from, I think it's Maxima.
To work? And
no, it didn't work at all. Because I've never used it before. It's like it makes the mud not stick as easy. I sprayed the whole Can-Am down before we left, and it did not help at all. I power washed it 3 times now.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Because I was like, I've heard good things about it, but yeah, it didn't help at all. When you're spraying that thing out, though, you spray all the mud off the right side, and then it's all of a sudden all on the left side. And you go to the left side and you spray it off, and it goes back to the right side.
Yeah.
So it's a nightmare. But
you it's almost fun, need though. To build a high-pressure wash station, get back and say, hey, Cody, you're dirty. Drive it through.
Well, yeah. I just hate mud. I think it stems from our Rhino Rally race a few years ago. I think I was just scarred.
We're just going to get me a shirt when I ride with him in that says my name on the back is Sanchez.
You're dirty?
Yep.
He didn't know what that was.
We just lost 5 more listeners.
Yeah, I heard you guys lose listeners. What are you doing?
He says to me, oh, I've been trying to get Ben to send you a dirty Sanchez. I'm like, Cody, do you know what that means? He goes, no, I just heard somebody say it.
It's like, oh my God. It's like when toddlers hear a word and they want to keep saying it over and over.
Right?
That's his new insult for the day, yeah. Poop. So how's the weather been out there? You been able to get out at all or no?
No, it's cold.
Cold?
We're supposed to get some snow tonight and then probably about 6 inches Monday. It'll be a few more weeks, I'm sure.
It's been off and on here. It's weird. It was like pretty much spring, and then we got this massive storm that gave us like a foot and a half of snow overnight, and it's been crazy ever since.
Jeez.
Yeah. So it's kind of put a damper on our riding. It's really sucked.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So what else is going on? What did I miss? What did you guys talk about so far?
Top 5 things that... What was it? Top 5 things that you've done wrong or you would advise other people don't do off-road or on-road?
Top 5 things that you would advise people to not do.
Right. Mistakes you've made.
Mistakes you've made?
Ass over tea kettle. That sort of thing. What did he say?
He said, I have a couple. I have a lot of things you shouldn't do. I feel like I almost know more of what I shouldn't do than what I should do. So kind of it helps. But what were your things? What did you say?
I said the first thing I said was ride without gear. That goes for on or off road.
That? Do people do that? You did that?
Fuck yeah.
What?
Man, you've never seen pictures of people riding around in flip flops and shorts?
Yeah, then I see the fucking road rash pictures later.
Yeah, sometimes. Pretty little girls in their bikinis and think, oh man, your body is going to look scarred for the rest of your life.
Oh, take a tit right off.
There goes three more listeners.
Whatever. They can't handle the real.
I told Cody I knew a lady that, or I have a friend that knew a lady that she was doing like 25 miles an hour around the neighborhood and fell over on the bike, hit her head, and gone.
Seriously?
Yeah. Just hit. Well, I mean, wasn't wearing a helmet. Yeah, no helmet law in Connecticut.
I'm a believer in helmets. I mean, that if you're going to wear anything, wear a helmet.
Yeah, that led into his story of you doing the... That's how we got on that. Oh. You doing the ass over tea kettle, and he says, well, yeah, and I decided at that moment, if he's going to marry my daughter, we needed to go get good helmets.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted... Well, I was working for him, too, so he didn't want, like, a terrible employee either if I, you know, pissed myself every time the microwave turned on or something. You know what I mean? But, yeah, but we had those LS2 helmets for a while, and they were cool, but we thought they were, like, good helmets until we actually saw good helmets. And we realized, like, how different they are. And, yeah, those 60 helmets are, I would never get another helmet than a 60 helmet. They're awesome.
Yeah, once you put on a high-priced helmet, the fit and finish and the comfort, it's just, it's unmatched with the cheap helmets.
I mean, it should be for $600.
Amen to that.
But even in my 60, I've fallen before. I can't remember where I fell at. I think
it was in a race. I remember everywhere you fell.
I think it was in a race or something, but I fell and I think I was doing like 60 miles an hour and I hit the ground and it took like a chunk out of the back of my helmet and like put massive gashes in the side of it. Like I thought it was
crap. Wow.
I got up, like, I didn't feel it. Like, I felt it, but it wasn't terrible. And I got up, and I looked at my helmet, and I was like, holy shit. I was blown away. I was like, I didn't even really feel it, so that was kind of cool. Yeah, anytime I see people with, like, without gear on, I'm like, you think you're pretty tough, don't you? So you hit a rock, and you fall over, you road rash. I don't know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So what do they call it, natural selection?
Absolutely, yeah.
Dumb enough to do dumb stuff.
I mean, I've been there plenty of times, though.
Yeah.
But then half the time I catch myself in the middle of it like, wow, you should shut her down, Vince. Stop it. But I think something you should always do is always have, if you're going to go out ride like far or something, you should always have like a GPS, some way to talk to somebody. I don't know.
Right.
Just pretty much an SOS button. Save my ass button. You know what I mean?
Especially if you're on your own.
Did you say especially if you're Cody? Is that what you said? Is that what I heard?
They quit answering.
Yeah.
Because I've been the rescue mission. Yeah, there you go. Right there.
That was a deal I made with the wife when I bought the 250L, that I would carry one of those when I went out.
Oh, so you're saying...
Before I leave, I send her I'm leaving, and then she can actually see where I am.
How'd you pull that off? You said, I need a bike. Now I need other gear for the bike. But I need this because I got the bike, so I got to go buy more stuff?
No, that was, she wanted me to have that, so.
I mean, you should start telling her, like, other things are very important for safety as well.
Yes.
Like new boots, headlight upgrade, those all improve safety.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Cody's had to push the pretty much SOS button for me for a while, or for, like, to call me to come help him and save him, so. Every time he goes out, I always say, well, I guess I'll expect a call in a couple hours or something.
So, in your case, SOS stands for summon one squatch?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty. Oh, shit, that's funny.
Minnesota, fucker.
You were out of range. You're out of reach. That was that's roaming miles?
That was only 1,200 miles.
Those weren't covered.
Oh, Minnesota?
Yeah.
I didn't buy that plan.
He was clear out there forever. I remember when he was dealing with his truck, he was like calling us, and I think the cold was getting to him or something, because he was like, he'd call us and say, I need help, and then he would hang up. And I'm like, well, where the fuck are you? What are you doing? Like, I can't help you. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, okay. And so finally it was like, oh, his truck's having issues. And he sent us a video. So I went to the store and I bought like the manual on the truck. And I was trying to diagnose it from here.
You did better than the mechanic.
And I was like, Cody, do this. You know, the book says do this. He's like, no, the book's wrong. Fuck that. And I'm like, well, okay. I'm like, you just know, huh? Then fix it.
I tried to. The mechanic told me I was wrong.
Yeah, it's true. The mechanic out in Minnesota said it was wrong.
It was five bottles full into it when he told me that, too.
Yeah, but I mean, Cody going all the way to Minnesota, we knew something was going to happen one way or another.
So I think that's why he's scared to come here.
I absolutely.
Jeffy says he won't cross the border with me.
Why not? You scared?
Of crossing the border with him?
Yeah.
You've traveled with him.
That doesn't make me scared. That just takes all the heat off me. I'm good. They're looking at him the whole time. I'm not worried about anything. So if you want to smuggle something, this is the time with Cody. Nope. I don't even know him.
I don't even know him.
Even though we rode in together, I don't even know who that guy is.
I met him on the train.
Pretty much. Yeah, if you want to get something across, you just have Cody run a distraction. Don't even tell him he's running a distraction. Just distract him. You're good to go. Just tell him, act natural. And that's all you got to say. It's game over.
Game over. He's dying back there. Can't breathe.
So you won't cross the Mexican border or the Canadian border?
No, I was just, we had Tim on. And we were talking about border crossings and stuff like that. Cody was talking about how he was supposed to meet all these people out in Baja. And,
oh, my God, Baja.
And Baja. We were just like, yeah, I'm not crossing the border with Cody. You might end up in jail. And Tim was like, probably.
And you'd be Mexican jail. So yeah, I've heard it's far worse.
It just snowballed from there. It's like, it was just in fun. But
yeah, like I said, if you're going to do anything, that's the time. Bring Cody, get her done.
Get it done. Stick him through.
Pretty much.
You go first, Cody.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if Cody added this to the list. I'd say spare parts. Any spare parts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we used to take like a, what do you call it, like a fender bag. Yeah. I had it on the back of my 2008 KTM, and I had like a tool roll in there and a bunch of stuff, and it eventually became like the catch-all. Oh, I had saddlebags, actually, the saddlebags on my KTM. And they were cool. Like, we could fill them full of stuff. But then we were riding one day, and I did a big jump when you're riding the sand track. And I landed, and it just, like, broke my back fender. It went into my wheel. Like, it just totally took shit. And damn. So after that, because it was super cool, we could pack a bunch of shit, which for Cody, that was awesome. But eventually, like, it became like a catch-all. Cody's like, hey, put this in there. Hey, put this in there. They put this in there. I'm like, do you want anything that I have in here? And he's like, no, you just hold on to it for me.
10-pound weight in there.
He's like, if I need it, I'm glad you have it. I'm like, awesome. Thanks. He's just kind of slowing me down.
If I need it, I'm glad you have it.
Yeah. But so we went from that to like the fender bag, and then, you know.
Put this in there.
Yeah, like that. Cody really would hand me a drill like this to put in there, 100%. That's something he would do. But, we use those fender bags and, holy shit, I forgot what I was saying just now. Where was I going with that?
Spare parts.
Tools.
Oh yeah, spare parts. So, we used to put spare parts in those, and, we did a race, I think it was a Rhino Rally race 2 years ago or something. And, there was a big, like, steep hill climb. It wasn't a steep hill climb. It was actually really shitty. There was just a lot of shitty people on it that were taking forever. But, I got up to the kind of the top area, and Cody was just sitting there, and I'm like, what are you doing? And I was like, you waiting for me or something? And his shifter fell off. And I'm like, only you would have your shifter fall off in the middle of a race. Only you.
Right.
Yeah. So he has the part, but he doesn't have any tools. So, but I have tools on my bike. So I jump off into the race. And so we like cut the zip ties off, cause he zip ties them to his frame.
He zip ties them to the frame, cause he knows they're going to fall off.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, like, zip ties the spare ones to the frame, and, but I get there, and, like, we put it on, and finally, he's good to go, but if he didn't have one on his frame or a spare part like that, he'd have been done. I mean, how do you shift? And he's like, I'll just go back and find it. I'm like, Cody, you couldn't find that thing. You can't find the trail. You can't find the next checkpoint. How are you going to find that?
Yeah, well, you're not going to find it. The bolt fell out.
Right. Yeah, it was.
So even if you put it on, the new one's going to fall off. So.
Right. Yeah, so like just having like a spare lever and a spare shifter or something always on you, and like a tool that can take them off, you know, like an 8mm, 10mm, whatever your bike is. That's always good, because without that, you're toast.
Yeah, the same thing happened to us at the races. My buddy, the little bolt that goes through the hold of your clutch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the actual pivot bolt.
Yeah. That came out.
That nut came off and the bolt was gone. Thankfully, he had one down in his freaking tool bag. Otherwise, he would have been done for the day.
Gotta have a full sack to ride a motorcycle.
What? Mm-hmm.
Gotta have a full sack to ride a motorcycle.
Now you gotta have a full, you can't be half sacking. You gotta have a full sack to ride a bike.
Yeah.
According to Cody.
Miss Squat said it's dinner time.
Oh, shit. that actually, I was going to say, my next thing I would think of to bring would be a snack.
Oh, yeah.
Snacks. The best thing when you're riding, I don't know, for us anyway, I thought was a Pop-Tart. Delicious.
Really?
Yep. And then if you're Cody, too, every time you buy Pop-Tarts, you buy pudding, and you use them as, like, those you know, Fun Dip sticks with the powder. He uses the Pop-Tart as the stick and dips it in the vanilla pudding. Yeah, I would say definitely say snacks, because me and Cody have been riding, like, we start at noon or something, and we're like, okay, we'll be back at the truck at 3 o'clock, and we're good to go, but we didn't know what that meant, like 3 a.m., not like 3 hours later. And we were at the top of American Fork Canyon, and we had no idea how long the ride was down, and it was like midnight, and we were, it was a super hard trail, and Cody was calling everybody, telling them that this is our last call.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, and this is probably the end of both of us. And I'm like, Cody, get up. What are you doing? But we had a Pop-Tart, so we survived for a while. I got us through.
Here, eat your fucking Pop-Tart.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I'm better. He's like that the Snickers commercial where everybody turns into Betty White or something.
Yep. Yeah, he was done. He was like, this is it. This is over.
We're dead.
Oh, shit. I usually carry granola bars.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Anything, you never know what's going to happen. Especially riding with Cody, you never know what's going to happen.
Hmm.
I think I've had more. Okay.
Yeah. Level 3 fun?
Absolutely. No, a lot of level 2. A lot of fun that I didn't really know was going on, so I didn't know if it was fun or not. I was just like, well, whatever it is. I don't know if this is fun or not. Like, the first time we ever went moto camping, we took 2 tents. And the other tent just had all of our shit in it. That's how much shit we brought. So, I mean, I was riding up the mountain with like a duffel bag and another duffel bag. And like, I look like a bagger on my dirt bike.
Yep.
It was weird. It's cool though.
Yeah. Support sounds tent. Like fun.
Yeah. The support tent.
Support tent.
Yep. All the shit you got, throw in the support tent.
That's funny.
And then I guess the last thing I think of would be a good pair of boots, like you said, protection, but I think like boots for sure. Cause I mean, I've seen people like break their ankle, smack their shin with their Kickstarter, and a lot of things.
Oh,
I love my instinct boots.
Catch your shin on the foot peg when you're kickstarting because it slips off. Oh God, it hurts.
Or you think like you're gonna cut through these trees, but you don't realize your foot falls off, and bam, you toe punch a tree. That hurts too.
Or a rock.
Yeah, if anything, really. Like I've
steel toe work boots just don't cut it. The soles aren't hard enough.
Nope. If you can hit it out there, I've probably ran into it. So the last thing I would bring is a good riding partner. Somebody that you know is not going to leave or bail or, you know, is in it.
Right.
So if your bike falls off the cliff, they're going to help you get it back up. Not someone that's like, oh, I got to be home at 5 no matter what, so I'll have fun with this. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's not a riding partner. That's
a dick.
Yeah.
Do not call list.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely say someone that, you know, is going to be there for you if something happens or
have your back no matter what.
Pretty much, yeah. So even if you're out there stuck, you're fighting a bear, whatever it is out there, whatever you may encounter in the wild.
Sasquatch.
Yeah, well, yeah, Wyatt Sasquatch, they got your back. Preferably people that know, like, maybe be like that are mechanically inclined. So if your bike breaks, they can fix it. Plus. Yeah. Because me and Cody have crackhead engineered a lot of shit on the trail. Like, you name it, we've made it work.
You have to. We were in a race that, one time. Pushing it home. Who wants to push a bike freaking 15 miles?
Right. We were in a race one time, and my front brake had been having issues, and all of a sudden it just locked up. I don't know what it was. And I was like, Cody, I need to rip my, I was trying to rip my front brake line off the bike because it was like a massive storm and it was horrible. And so Cody rolls up, and we're using our heads. We're like, how are we going to do this? And he whips out a pair of pliers and we just cut my brake line right there. And we just took off. And I'm like, well, at least you had the tools this time. But he was like, just cut it. I'm like, I didn't even think of that.
You're at the finish line, man.
If so, I mean, yeah, someone that he knows a little bit of bikes is nice to have with you.
Yeah. That always works.
But I mean, there's been plenty of times we've done the wrong thing out there.
Yeah. I had my throttle cable pull out of the slide halfway around the track. And it's like, I really don't want to push my fucking bike all the way back.
Yeah, nobody likes it when it pulls out.
No. So, like, if I tried to twist the throttle, it was doing something. It would let it drop down further or something like that. It would, like, dog out. So I got it started, and it would idle. So I started pushing it fast enough to where I could let out the clutch a little bit, and it would, you know, just, like, clutch it all the way around.
That's weird to hear. You said a clutch cable, right?
No, the throttle cable.
Oh, the throttle cable.
The part that held it onto the slide broke.
Oh.
So the slide was just sitting in there, and there was nothing to pull the slide up.
I had the slide crack on my carb. Yeah, it like shattered into pieces. I didn't even know how, but I was riding, and all of a sudden my bike bogged down, and it was done, and we pulled it out, and it was just shattered. And Cody was like, I've never seen this before. I'm like, you always say that a lot. You always say, oh, this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this. So we're finding out new shit all the time.
That's what B-Moto said about my fucking engine.
See, there you go. Yeah. Never seen anything like that.
Never seen anything like that. Cody is a trailblazer.
Yeah. So if you're a company and you want to see if your product's good and will stand up to shit, you give it to Cody. He's the best R&D.
If you make cheap products, don't send them to me.
Yeah. Don't send them to Cody.
Don't send the cheap shit. It will not last.
Yeah. I think another thing I would add is a good, this goes back to protection too, but a good pair of goggles, because the vision is your ultimate thing out there. You know, the farther you can see, the faster you can go.
Yep.
We were riding one time in a race, and I think it was our first or second race. And we had those ones you pull, like, with the film on them for mud.
Oh, yeah. The tear-offs?
Yeah. And but it was the string you pull, and it just constantly keeps going around.
Oh, yeah. Roll-offs.
Yeah. Yep. And Cody was... I'm riding, and all of a sudden I see somebody up there with like a banner flying off, and I'm like, what is that? I realize it's Cody, so I ride up farther, and Cody has the whole film pulled out, and it's just like a streamer behind him, like for 20 feet, and it's just like flapping in the wind, and I'm like, seriously? Yeah, I guess he face planted and broke half of it, so like one of the pieces just flopped out, and so it was just a 20 foot streamer behind him off his helmet. And I'm like, oh my God, if I can grab that thing, I will. I'll pull him right over. I think that was the same race that Cody just tipped over in. We were riding back to the pit, and we took the sand trail back. Did he tell you about that? Oh my God.
He was just riding, and then he said he's overtired or something. And he just all of a sudden just went, boom.
I've never seen anybody just ride at like 10, 5, 2. Zero, and he tipped over and didn't move. Like, he didn't acknowledge that he tipped over. Like, feet stayed on the pegs, hands stayed on the grips, head didn't, nothing moved. He just tipped right over.
In my head.
Yeah, he was still going in his head. He was going probably like 50 miles an hour in his head. But,
and I that happened there. To me. Yeah. It happened to me at a red light. I pulled up to a red light, and I was wearing sneakers, riding a crotch rocket.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster foot. Right there.
Yeah, I went to take my foot off the peg, my shoelace got wrapped around the brake pedal.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was in balance until my foot didn't move. That little bit of
oop
was enough to start the bike going that way. And of course, I couldn't plant my foot. Thankfully, I got the shoelace off the thing and got my leg out from underneath the bike before I went over. But we were working like 11 at night to 7 in the morning.
Oh, come on, so that's like, easy. That's easy stuff.
Yeah, 7 in the morning, yeah, I fall over at the brake light. All my buddies that we was working with that all rode bikes to work that night were all like, did you just fall asleep? No, I got my fucking foot stuck.
No, I didn't. I think the worst is when you get done riding and you go to get off your bike. And well, for me, a lot of happens, and don't let Cody lie. It does happen to Cody too. But when you get off and you get off and you go to step, but like the peg catches the side of your boot. And so as you're pushing down, it just tips the bike right over into you.
Oh,
you ever had that happen? Like,
no,
happens to Cody all the time. Happens to me all the time.
Never.
Too. Yeah, like you don't have the kickstand down yet, but you're going to get off and you jump off, and especially the Instinct boots, like they're so big, the side of it would catch the pedal. And I would just step down, and as I step down, it would just like push the bike down to that side. And I never caught it halfway down. I was like, shit, I was tipped over and I looked like an amateur. But
damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'd have to like roll out of it like a, you know, some James Bond shit. Like I meant to do it.
Yeah, most of my dirt bikes never had kickstands.
Mine was
always
forever.
So it was always leaning against the tree and swinging your leg over.
I used to carry a triangle on my backpack. And that ride that Cody was talking about earlier where I went end over end and ate shit, I had the triangle on my back and it came and like smacked me in the back of the head too. It was insult to injury. It sucked ass.
Oh.
But it was cool though, because once I fell, I could just put the bike back up on the triangle right there. So, I mean, I had an advantage, but it also sucked.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add, Cody?
Nope. Squash going to take her home.
I'm taking out. What do you guys do at the end here?
We usually talk about the
gas can hoodie.
The gas can hoodie and Mototimic, because we get the discount code ThrottledADV. And you can use that over at Mototimic. Get yourself a gas can hoodie like I'm wearing. So you've got a gas can hoodie, right?
Yep. It's super warm. I love it. I like how it stays soft too after you wash it. Because a lot of hoodies and a lot of shit, like once you wash it, kind of, you know, suck after that. But I feel like it always stays soft. I like that.
It does. It's like the day you bought it.
Yeah, pretty much. And I will say, I'm pretty sure I'm faster in their jerseys.
It is the coolest jersey I've worn.
I love it. That. It's cool. And it's like super, I hate the jerseys you get that are like not vented. And I think theirs is super vented. So you get all the airflow through.
Right. Yes. They got hats, t-shirts, Moto Beans beanie. I wear that every day because it's fucking cold here in Massachusetts.
What's the temperature there today?
Today wasn't bad. Today was, I think, 36. But it's been like teens at night, so it's still cold at night.
Did you grow up there?
That's why I'm wearing my sweatshirt in the house. What were you going to say?
Did you grow up there?
Go up where?
In Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. I've been here my whole life.
You don't have like an accent.
Because we're from Massachusetts.
The Massachusetts.
Okay.
No, you're thinking of Boston?
Yeah.
Like park the car? No, that's exactly. Just Boston.
Oh, just those fuckers?
It's once you get out 2 miles outside of Boston, there is no accent. Park the car. I park the car.
Whatever. You just got to add a little twang to it.
Yeah. So
it's a twang of the north.
Oh.
We got the draw of the sale.
Yes. So we can also use that discount code over at MotoCamp Nerd. They have Moto camping supplies. You've seen.
He's got a ton of shit.
He does. He's got just about anything you could think of that you would need. And if there is something that you need for moto camping that he doesn't have on the list, reach out to him and let him know. I'm sure he would love to add it to his repertoire.
Yeah. sounds like Cody. He has shit he needs, and he has everything he doesn't need to.
Yeah, well, MotoCamp Nerd, they even have the satellite communicators. I mean,
that was on the list right there.
Yeah, anything you can think of that you would need, from sanitation stuff to cooking stuff, sleeping, tents, you name it. I mean, I haven't thought of anything camping that I haven't been able to find on his website. But you use that same discount code, ThrottledADV, and you can save over there on your purchase as well. And then we would be amiss if we didn't point out that you can head on over to Bmoto, Booty Che. They fixed Cody's 6 days that you heard the story from the other participant in that ride.
It was fucked up.
And how it was welded together.
Yeah, it was solid. And they got it back to him, and it looked so cool, all the coatings that are in it and stuff. Just the colors of it and everything, it looked super cool.
Yeah, and it fit too. It wasn't like outlandish. The colors that he used made it look more like it was a factory bike.
Yeah. Do you know it's a whole lot easier to get an engine out of a bike than it is back in a bike?
Yes.
We learned that.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but it is true. It definitely comes out easier than it goes back in.
That usually happens, yeah.
Yes, I currently am refabbing a 97 KX125, and Bmoto has the rear rim that they're fixing for me. They've got a pipe and a shock that they're going to be doing some work on for me. So
it's going to be riding like you're on a cloud.
Nice. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, and Cody's faster on his bike now too.
Wait.
What?
Wait till the snow melts.
Wait till the snow melts.
Yeah, he's I think it sounds great, and I think it's awesome though. It's super cool. And I like how you send him in the cooler. I like that.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
Cause I'm like, I like that. That was pretty cool, was it? In the cooler. Nice.
They forgot to send me the beer with it back, though. Hold my beer. Watch this.
You didn't send the beer out there, though.
Yeah, you didn't send the beer out.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that part.
Of course he did. Oh, that's funny. We started the podcast, and we got about halfway through, and Cody said something about he was going to go MIA. I said, well, if you go MIA and we're not allowed to go looking for you, who the hell's going to fill in for you? He goes, Squatch.
And shit just like that.
And just like that, you filled in for him on the second half of the podcast.
Done. So he said he was going to go MIA, huh?
He said he was going to go MIA.
It's like that song. I go missing, don't come looking.
Till I need a Red Bull. A Pop-Tart.
Red Bull, Pop-Tarts, and yogurt.
Or it snows.
Thanks, Squatch. Alrighty. Sign us out.
Okay. Squatch, thanks for stepping in for the wanted man.
Yeah, I was excited. Thanks. I appreciate it. Wild man. Talk about nipples getting taken off and all the shit.
Alrighty. Thank you all for listening. And until next time, I'm Chappie. He's Squatch. And Cody is MIA.
Like always, he's gone.
Well, we'll see you next week.